Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your weekly show that comes at you encouraging, lifting up the Lord, and bringing out just not the good news, but the great news. And your guest this morning is two guys from YWAM. Now, I know last week we had a break, and Tori did a good job, and he had a couple guests on, Brian and Savina, and they did an excellent job talking about truck driving. For that, you've heard of YWAMers before, so why not YWAMers again? Well, actually, these guys are mission builders, kind of what I'm doing at the moment. We're not YWAMers, but we're involved with YWAM. And we've got two young guys here in the studio. So, Kevin, hello. Austin, hello.
How's it going?
Great. Tori, you doing good?
Hey, doing well. It's great to have you back.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. All right. So, why don't we start with you, Kevin? So, tell us a little bit about Kevin.
Yeah, I'm from Florida originally. I'd actually just moved out here 3 months ago. And really excited to be here.
What brought you here?
We heard about YWAM, me and my wife, Stephanie, and thought that it would be a cool experience to come out to California and do some mission building. And that's just helping the base there to kind of operate. Really, really just excited to be here in California and to be a part of something that's bigger than us. And
what made you think it was going to be a cool idea? Yeah, we were talking earlier and you expounded on that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Christian home, I had been raised really strictly, and I rebelled from that pretty hard. I went down a road that a lot of people are probably familiar with. Used pot in high school, and then started using heavier drugs, which pretty much ended up with me struggling with addiction and in and out of jails and rehabs for the last 12 to 13 years. And I was really, really lost. Just didn't know what I was going to do with myself, and decided that I needed something more in my life. 3 months ago, we had this opportunity to follow follow God, what we thought God would want to do in our marriage and with our lives, to come out here and serve. And it has been really great since then. Since we made that decision to come out here, God has just been opening doors and opportunities. I've been seeing people work or God work in people's lives and in my life. He's actually taken the desire to use from me, and that's something that I struggled with for 13 years. Just could never really escape the desire to use, even, you know, going to jail and using or getting free from it for a little while. Using kept, you know, calling. I think that was maybe somehow how I was trying to find peace.
Peace from what?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I think I was just looking for something. Even as a little kid, I think I knew that there was something more to life than just going to work and hanging out with friends. I've always just kind of felt like there was something more, and I looked for that in all sorts of various avenues. Relationships with girls and with drugs, with with friendships, doing extreme sports. Skateboarded a lot as a kid, doing crazy extreme things, dangerous things, just that I thought would kind of wake something up in my spirit. Nothing ever really satisfied. It never lasted anyway. Momentarily it would, but I've come to know Jesus Christ, and ever since I really gave my life and put that passion that I had inside of me into following Jesus, things have just been growing in my life and in my heart. I have a peace now that that I haven't had since I was a little kid, and I'm just so thankful for it. pretty awesome.
That is awesome. So why don't we go so, on to asking, why don't we ask you, what brought you to Christ? When did you decide to make Christ your Lord and Savior? I mean, what was the devastating point, or this point that, not even never devastating, what was the turnaround that got you to turn around?
Yeah, that's it's a long story. I'll make it short. I knew about Jesus. I had heard about there are a lot of people that have heard about Jesus and Christianity and I'm kind of a practical person, so I wanted to know how all that kind of tied into my everyday life. And what happened was I knew about Jesus and God, but I wasn't investing anything in it. I was investing in myself, what would make me feel good, what would make me happy. And after, I'm 30 now, so I guess 28 or 29 years of pursuing what I thought would make me happy, I finally just gave up, kind of. I surrendered my own will, and I said, you do it. Mm-hmm. You take it. If this is real and Jesus can make this happen, he can, if he can keep me sober, if he can keep me out of jail, if he can keep me out of rehab, if he can fix my failing marriage, then I want in, basically. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was like just giving up the fight. In a good way, I went to prison for 3 years. I got sober and then I got worked out all the time.
What led you to prison?
It was an addiction to heroin and painkillers. It was pretty bad. Something I never want to go through again. Felt awful.
So you were sick and tired of religion, didn't know how Christ would relate to your life, but finally you came to relationship instead of religion?
Yeah, pretty much.
You saw the religion in the home, like you said, your parents were they Christian-based relationship, or was it Christian-based religion? Like, I grew up in a Christian-based religious home.
I think it was both, but there was a lot of religion, religion. A lot of, you have
to do. You always knew what you couldn't do, but never knew what you could do?
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Yeah. So I think, it turned me off as a kid. As a kid, I didn't know what I needed saving from.
How could you ever live up to that anyway? Right.
Right.
When I grew up in a very strict environment, and I know don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't cuss, don't go to dances, don't play cards, don't. But I never knew what I could do. And I knew that I wasn't good enough on myself to ever live that way. And I was living under condemnation, constant failure, not good enough.
Yeah, and I can relate to that, really. I tried to fit in with the crowd anyway.
Right.
And it totally came completely unnatural to me. Because I thought there was something that said that's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I dove into that lifestyle anyway, and it ended up wrapping me up and taking me down a long, long road of all I can describe it as just loneliness and self-pity and incarceration and all that.
Long road of yourself.
Which led
to nowhere.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky that I made it out, because there were times where I did not think that I would be freed from it. But I can tell you, sitting here today, that God is, he has lifted that burden from me.
Awesome.
And it's cool. Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. Okay, folks, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Hello, folks. We're back to Christ Today. Hope you're listening out there, and hope it's been a encouraging and uplifting so far. So our next guest is Austin
Aritakis.
Good. I got the name right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Austin?
Well, I'm 20 years old, and I recently separated from the Navy earlier than intended.
Why?
After I struggled with drugs and depression, very similar to my friend over here. And what happened was I got to a point where I was losing my mind. I could not continue down the path of drugs and, for me, pornography. And I ended up taking off from the Navy. I went AWOL, as they call it, or UA. And before I was considered a deserter, I came back. But during that time, I entered the worst depression I'd ever experienced. And I cried out to God. I just cried out, I need you as you, I just need you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd grown up in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the truth. I knew scripture. Mm-hmm. I'd say I knew it pretty well for a 19-year-old. And none of it ever made sense, nor could I really relate to it. But when I decided to put my trust into him, I didn't know what it looked like. I just knew I was going to try my best. And that's when I started to experience joy. I actually entered a psych ward because I became honest about my will to not live anymore if I had to live like I was.
Mm.
And they just saw that as, you want to commit suicide. But I said I wanted to be free of this, and I didn't know how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of being UA, I was in a hospital, and I cried out to God for hours. And I decided to, instead of just read the Bible and open it up and ask God to point me to the right word, you know, do that random open the Bible and find the
haven't
spot
we all
thing.
Done that?
We've all done that one, I think.
I just pick it up and read it.
Instead of that, I had received a prophecy when I was 11 over my life, and it was really powerful. And there were certain scriptures I was supposed to memorize, and I never did. Mm-hmm. I decided to memorize them and to just kind of, I guess you could say, brainwash myself with the truth.
Yeah. That's what it's called, brainwashing.
Yeah. And it literally washed me. It was not a negative brainwashing. In a matter of 5 days, I became an entirely different person. And I felt joy. And it was physical, actually. I felt a burning sensation in my chest.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful, like, when you're just, like, randomly picking out scriptures. And like open it to whatever, because you know you might flip to one and it might say Judas went out and hung himself, and you might flip to another one and say go thou and do likewise.
Context.
So you know, yeah, I mean, you're taking things out of context there. But yeah, so tell us, the Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and powers of darkness of the world and of the air. So what I think a lot of people may not realize, but it is very true, that what we're facing, and gentlemen, what you've went through, what I've went through, what Curtis has went through, what we're facing is spiritual attacks upon our lives. And when the spirit of suicide, that is a spirit that we're warring against. Drugs, pornography. Strong spirit
strong.
To be able to break that.
Especially nowadays.
Yes, right? It is at you at every angle. There's nowhere you can turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, tell me, Austin, tell our listeners about that spirit of attack that you felt with pornography.
Pornography, that started at a very young age. I was actually 7 years old when I first got to go on the computer by myself and just surfing. And the way the internet is rigged up, eventually it leads you to it, as well as the human or the male mind.
Mm-hmm.
So pornography was a cycle for me. I would fantasize, and I realized those voices were the spirits of lust trying to get me down the path to start it. I would fantasize, and then it would lead to an act.
Mm-hmm.
And for most guys, that's masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
And that and pornography just go together completely. And then after that, there would be this shame. I always felt this kind of guilt afterwards. And eventually I became kind of numb to it.
Yeah.
But that shame would lead me to do it
not
all
before
over.
Or during, but immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Satan works.
Immediately after. He tells you it's okay to do the act, but right after you do the act, he's going to throw more chains on you.
Right.
So that he can keep you going further down. So he can throw more on you. He just wants to keep you as tied up as possible.
Yeah.
So it's...
I think people don't realize these days what it really is, because there's this kind of notion, especially among guys, that it's like...
Hey, Kevin, speak right into your mic there.
Yeah.
Okay. Bit.
There you
is
go.
That better?
Yeah, better.
Okay. Yeah, it's like it's there's this like idea that it's totally okay, you know, like it's the norm, you know, and just because everybody's doing it, that it's okay, and not really realizing that it's a life controlling issue. It almost brings you to the point where you feel like you don't really have control over whether you do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was my experience.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they say that pornography addiction is parallel to that of heroin. In the brain, and it's that hard to break. It's a strong spirit, but there's no spirit that's stronger than Jesus.
That's
right.
Correct. That's
hallelujah.
Got that right.
Never will be.
So tell us a little bit more, Austin. Continue on a little bit.
Yeah, sure thing. That getting free of that cycle was literally probably the hardest part out of the suicidal notion going through my mind. That was heavy. My dad had done it a year before. He took his own life in 2014, and I figured that I could do that. It was a way out. I was hearing those voices, but at the same time, I always had this notion inside of me that, no, that won't solve anything, and think about what that would do to your family, because you know what it's done to you.
Talk a little bit about how it affected you.
My father going was, it absolutely wrecked me. I was already a mess inside, but it was just the exponential factor of my depression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But those together, the pornography, the suicide, and the drugs were just my coping mechanism. And that's also a spirit as well. It was just a big storm. It was just a big storm inside of me, all these different voices. And it was, I literally understand how people go insane and they end up on the streets, because there's so many different attacks coming from different spirits. Just can't handle it. But anybody can get free in the same way. And it did take me going into a psych ward to actually get humble enough to look around myself, and I realize I'm not psychotic. I'm not schizophrenic like that lady over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wanting to get free, and I cried out.
Mm-hmm.
And he met me right where I was.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That spirit of suicide is an oppression from Satan that is so heavy that you really need Jesus and you need friends to pull you out of that, because that spirit, if somebody's saying, hey, I can't imagine killing myself, well, then you've never felt that kind of oppression. You've never felt that pressing down darkness trying to make you feel like life around you would be better without you. You need a release. You've got to get away. Things are falling apart in your life. That foot of pressure coming down from Satan, that is a spiritual attack, and the only way to fight it and have victory is in and through Christ,
yes,
who broke those chains and set us free, and that's the only way free from that oppression.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's the final stage in what Jesus tries, or not Jesus, Satan. Jesus wouldn't want us to kill ourselves,
right?
No, die to ourselves for him.
Yeah.
But that's what Satan wants to ultimately lead people to. He wants to take us out.
Yeah, he wants to defeat us.
Well,
he'll use ourselves to defeat us.
The Bible clearly says that Satan comes only
to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right, to kill. Let's see, comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
That's in that order, comes to steal the word, and then he can destroy you and kill you.
Yep, amen, which is sad.
But Jesus came that we might have life, and life more abundantly.
Life more abundantly.
Yeah.
That reminds me of when I went to a rehab recently in Georgia called Penfield, and they taught us something there that really helped me to get free from my addictions. And it was a lot of these false beliefs that I had that I believe were from the enemy, from Satan. And it was this belief that my self-worth was directly related to what other people thought of me and my own performance. And because I was an addict, obviously I wasn't performing very well at all. And I had all these other people's had opinions about what was going on with me and what I should do. And that equaled my self-worth,
mm-hmm.
Which was pretty much non-existent. Mm-hmm. But when I came to remember the truth that I am deeply loved by God, mm-hmm. and that I am an awesome spirit being and unique, and God had a purpose for me and a plan, and that He could bring me back into His purpose for my life, into who I needed to be to fulfill that purpose. My self-worth took on a life, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess that's probably where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Amen. That's great.
Yeah. So you actually came to understanding that your life begins with Him and ends with Him. Mm-hmm. And through having received life, the human part of you died, and because the human part of you died, you are now able to be free and be who Christ wants you to be. We're going to take another break.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
All right, folks, we're back. Welcome to Christ Today again. And in the studio, we have Austin Aritakis and Kevin
Donahue.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. And they've been talking a little bit about their lives. They're young kids, young fiery souls for the Lord, and they're sharing their testimonies of what Christ has done in their life. So, Tori, why don't I let you take it a little bit and ask some questions?
Sure. Hey, guys. I am so proud of you. And I say that because you're coming on Christ Today and sharing your real testimony. You are exposing yourself. You're exposing your weaknesses of your past. And, you know, why I'm so proud of you is because that you're doing that, because you're not alone. The devil makes us feel like we're alone. You're the only one going through this. You can't talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when he can bring isolation and separation, he can also destroy you. That's a part of his plan. But I am so encouraged by you sharing your testimonies of where you've come, what you've went through, and how Jesus has changed your life and made something brand new. And really, he's given you a hope and a future. Because that's what we're all looking for. When you said that you were lonely, that you were trying to cover up the pain. When I was 20, I lost my father. He had cancer. And he went to be with the Lord at 20. And I was a pretty good kid up until that point. I mean, there was some signs there that I was, you know, wanting to get a little more freedom and do my own thing. But at that point, instead of running to the Lord, I went haywire. I mean, I went to alcohol and girls, just anything I could try to numb the pain. And then it goes further as you get that ball rolling, because black and white turns to gray, and what seems that you would never do, you find yourself doing. And so I'm so encouraged by your testimonies, and thank you so much, because I guarantee there's young men and women listening today that needed to hear that. They're right where you were, but now you're giving them a hope in Jesus. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You bet. So Austin, you went through the Navy. You had, you know, some different struggles with, you know, went through the drugs and porn and everything like that. But what brought you around when you found Jesus? How did you get to come to YWAM and be on your mission building? What do you got going with your missions up there?
Yeah, I'd love to elaborate. I actually left the Navy, decided to move up to my parents in Roseburg, Oregon, okay, where the shootings recently took place. And I started working up there and pursuing life in ministry, because now that I have understanding of who Jesus is, there's nothing greater than working for him and working for the King and whatever he'd have me do. So I picked up a job, and it was kind of becoming my identity. Actually, I was working sales for DirecTV in Costco. I was doing really good. I got promoted and was looking to go into management even. But I kept hearing. I've developed a little bit of hearing from the Holy Spirit, and I kept hearing go. And it was very simple, and I didn't know what that meant at all, but just to go. And it came to a point where I realized I don't want to do this. He put a desire in my heart, actually, to go to India before I ever knew about YWAM. Kind of had this missionary excitement stirring up in me.
Nice.
It's like, oh, I could go and I could spread Jesus. Like, wow. Just so powerful. There's this big idea. I was still trying to figure out how that was going to look, how that was going to start. But I decided to take a step in faith one day. I've had back issues as well, and that was making it hard to work in sales.
Standing on your feet all day.
Standing on my feet all day in dress shoes.
Yeah, been there, done that. Doing it now.
Trying to persuade people at the same time. It became really hard, and I wasn't doing as good. And I believe God was leading me there so that I would feel more empowered to leave the job even. And I left the job. And the same day I decided to tell my boss that I was done.
Moving on.
Yeah. Moving on. A man who'd been working at Costco came up to me, and he'd come to work that day unintentionally. He actually was off that day, so he was kind of like sitting there wondering, why did I come here? And we struck up a conversation, and I said, yeah, I don't know why I'm here either. I feel like I should be a missionary. He said, oh, well, I've served with YWAM for 16 years. Let me tell you all about it.
Wow.
And he told me everything and just really inspired me and decided to pray with me. And then he went. And I was just like, wow, that was such an ironic
God moment.
The next Sunday, which was only a few days later, I decided to go to Bethel. I'd wanted to go to Bethel for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I'd heard that it's like Disneyland for Christians.
Nice.
Just the environment's just Holy Spirit filled.
Yeah, I like that.
And I went in there, and out of all the people I met there, the only people I met was a small team from YWAM Chico.
Wow.
And that was also a God moment. He just lined up these events and showed me here. I decided to take him up on it, and so now I'm here.
That's awesome.
That's the way God works. He gets our attention, and we don't know it. He starts speaking things to us, and we don't know it, and sooner or later, he has us where we didn't think we'd ever be. Kind of what happened to you, right?
Yeah, definitely. I was just really excited about the chance to travel and kind of do something different, and like Austin, get away from the daily grind of things, and it's turned out to be a lot greater than I expected it to be. Just this experience to be on the radio and to tell people about what's gone on in my life and, to give glory to God, is awesome. You know, it's, and then daily things happen like that, you know, where, we'll just kind of wake up and just say, hey, you know, what do you have for me next, God? And just kind of just go with it, you know, just step out in faith, and it's been a great experience.
Tell us how the Lord has restored your marriage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Since we've been married, and we had we've been married a year and a half, almost 2 years, Christmas, the day after Christmas.
Nice.
We got married in 2013, which was actually only about 5 or 6 months after I got out of prison. Mm-hmm. So it moved really fast. We're in love, and everything is really good. And then I fall back into my addictive habits and everything, and she's feeling duped. You know, like, who's this guy?
Yeah, right.
And
she unexpected you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she had these expectations, and I wasn't meeting them. Since in the past 3 months, our marriage is like, it's totally different. We speak words of life into each other.
There you
know,
go.
We encourage each other.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And we see that. We see that happening in our marriage. We have a closer connection. It's really awesome. It's great, you know. And you know, we're more of a team. We're more of a unit now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it was, you know, there were so many arguments and you know, and distrust that we really couldn't get on the same page. You know, mm-hmm. there was like always this underlying kind of emotion of distance between us. And, you know, that has completely changed. It's, you know, we still have our days and disagreements.
Does.
And,
right.
But he's also given us the ability to communicate better, mm-hmm. To care a little bit more about what we say to each other and how that's going to affect one another. So yeah, it's been fantastic.
That's awesome. So Kevin, tell us what's going on with YWAM and what's next for you guys, you and your wife. Where's the Lord leading you?
Yeah, we kind of debated about this for a little while. You know, we wanted to make sure that our next step was in God's plan for us, mm-hmm. because we're enjoying it so much. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't just decide out of, you know, our own, you know, wants or needs, but that we would really just follow God's calling in our lives. We feel like God is telling us that we need more instruction on how to live this out and how to really... you know, press in that way we can be used. And
you must have an amazing father-in-law, because
yeah.
we had talked previously and you had share that story with him, that how he opened up the door for you to even be here at YWAM.
Yeah.
And he must be an amazing man with a lot of love for you and his daughter.
He is. Larry is probably one of the most generous people I've ever met. And he's very successful. He worked with a bank for 20-something years. Very intelligent, really down to earth. But he is a man of God. And you can see that in his family life. You can see that in his actions. He actually just started his own investment firm because him and the bank that he was working with kind of had a
separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has decided to just support us. And
awesome.
He does that with the other two daughters of his as well.
So instead of saying to his daughter, what's your wife's name?
Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this guy, you better cut chase you know, hey, you tried, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But let's, you know, I'm not going to have my daughter, you know, going through the struggles that you're going through now,
mm-hmm.
but came to you with the love of God, really.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, hey, you know, you tried, you know, let's cut it and, you know, go on.
Yeah.
He, obviously to me, I'm seeing that he took that as an opportunity to say, hey, if you will go to YWAM and I'll take care of it and cover it and really give an atmosphere and an opportunity for you to unite as a couple, because what you're doing now is going to carry you in years to come by having this kind of relationship together and being involved in ministry and how the Lord is going to use you to help other couples as they go through similar situations.
Oh. Tori, it looks to me like what God did was give him favor through somebody that was human that could see beyond what Kevin or even Stephanie could see and believed enough mm-hmm. in them to send them out.
Yeah.
Because all they did was come to do mission building. All I did was go to do mission building, and now we're all looking at doing these.
Which was so unique to me because, you know, in my past, like where I came from, the lifestyle I came from, not many people did believe in me. My mom and dad, they still believed that I was capable of it, But even they were like, just they kind of resigned to the fact that this is going to be probably how he is. It's just going to be a lifelong just struggle to keep afloat. So I was not familiar with somebody that was really like, you know, all for me, mm-hmm. and that they were really going to invest in me.
That's awesome.
And I feel like, I think maybe that's all I needed. And that was God working through him. And that was Jesus telling me, reaffirming to me that I still have value.
Absolutely.
What a great example of God's father-like grace.
Yeah.
Coming through now your own father, basically.
Like that song, He's a Good, Good Father, right?
Mm-hmm. Was anybody the use of the Lord or of assets by the Lord in your life like that, Austin? Was there anybody that stood out for you like they stood out for Kevin?
That would have to be my mother. She has seen the worst of me and received the butt end of most of my lies through high school. And when I was experimenting with drugs and trying to go out and, you know, do the rebellious thing, my mom has always been there and she's always received me. She's always showed just unconditional love and just how far and deep that can go. No matter what I did, she was always there with open arms.
Cool. So you both wanted to had a separate talk that you wanted to discuss and wanted to share. I believe, Austin, yours is brokenness, and I believe yours is pride, Kevin, or is it the other way around?
Yeah,
that's correct.
I think that's right.
Okay, so why don't you both speak a couple minutes on each one of those topics?
Sure thing. Brokenness is something I experienced the fullness of. And in my weakness, I actually got to experience God's strength. And I believe a consistent spirit of brokenness, not back on that level, but on being willing to do whatever God wants and listen to whatever he's saying is very important for us as Christians in our walk with God. When I decide to be broken in that, what that looks like for me now is just going off into a quiet place and just pouring my heart out to God. When I do that, he speaks back. He really honors a broken and contrite heart. And that same brokenness is kind of a doorway for compassion for not only my family, but others. Because Jesus was moved with compassion for people. And I've seen right. that compassion actually is what brings on the supernatural. And it's all come through brokenness for me. Being willing to see that I'm not whole and only God can bring me to a place of wholeness. He can fill my cup.
I think like the prodigal son, when he came to himself, when he went out and took his inheritance and blew it and partied, mm-hmm. and he lived it up, man, he is living the dream.
He was doing it.
Until he came to himself, slopping the hogs and finding himself wanting to eat what the hogs were eating. And then at that point, I think we all have to come to ourselves at some point in our lives. I know that in my own life, I had to come to myself. I thought, man, okay, this is it. And then I might get knocked down a little bit lower. But until I was able to totally surrender and I had my God moment, that I was always going back and forth into the world, with the Lord, then something would happen. And I would, like I said before, black and white turns to gray, just a little bit. It's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And
slow fade.
Yeah, there's an enticement of the world and Satan makes it look good, but it's only for a little while. It says,
surface deep.
Yeah. Sin is fun for a while, the Bible says, but in the end, it leads only to death. Oh. And with blinders on until I could never get a control of my flesh.
No.
I might want to do what was right. Paul said, the things I want to do, I find I'm not doing them. And the things I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing that. And so Paul wrote most of the New Testament and struggled with that flesh moment, you know, back and forth. He had a thorn in his side as well, whatever that was at that point, whether it was a physical or a spiritual thing. But we all have that. And so we're not alone, but Jesus is the answer. When we come to ourselves and we understand that this is bigger than me and I can't do it by myself. That's, that was, mm-hmm. I cried out to God, I can't do it. I cannot do it. and without you, I will surely die. But with him, he has pulled me out of a pit of my own despair and set me upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus.
Yes. I think, too, getting to part of this, I think that wrong believing leads to wrong living. Right believing leads to right believing. How do you believe right? How do you believe wrong? When you're caught up in yourself and you're caught up in the ways of the enemy, your thoughts aren't right thoughts. Your beliefs aren't right beliefs. But when you come to Christ, your mind's supposed to be being renewed. So your mind is changing. So your thoughts are now changing. And getting back to what I like to talk a lot about on this show is grace. We need to come to the idea that we can't change ourselves. Austin couldn't. Kevin couldn't. Tori couldn't. I can't change myself. You out there and listening to this show, you cannot change yourself. But Christ can. But not just coming to yourself, coming to the end of yourself. You could get so much to yourself that you're just caught up in yourself, or you could recognize that even yourself can't help you, and that's when you turn to God. And so, what are you believing? And why are you believing what you're believing? If you're believing what the enemy says, no wonder why you're living a life that's not going anywhere. Living a life that's chaotic and confused and messed up and torn up and just... You don't want to live no more. You just don't want to take life because it's just too much. You're confused, confused, confused. But when you come to Christ, he changes that. He takes away that confusion. Am I not right with that?
Satan wants
to talk on that?
Satan is the author of confusion. Mm-hmm. So when God comes in, everything's clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not just confusion. There's a couple things that I think are really has truth about, but the devil uses to keep us from knowing it. And it's shame. Shame is a big one, especially because we're not perfect. We all make mistakes, even if it's not like something we see as a dire sin or something that's going to wreck our lives, but even just little things. And the devil uses shame to make us feel like we don't have power, like we don't have a close connection with Christ, and that, we don't have value. And, shame and confusion, those things, the truth is that we're forgiven if we're in Christ. And, we can accept the fact that we're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. The purpose in those mistakes is to see what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
So right on.
I want to bring a little bit of clarity to that. I believe that we're even forgiven when we're not in Christ, but we don't receive and accept and experience the benefits of that forgiveness until we come to Christ.
Or at least it's available.
Yeah.
It's available. We haven't received it, but it's still available to us. It still was given to us at the cross. Because Christ finished it at the cross. It was, everything he did was for us, even though we may not be experiencing it or walking in it or know that it is. And we've got to come to that point that that's what we want. And I believe both of you guys did that. You both came to the point of you were at the end of yourselves and you need something better. So Christ came in, rearranged, changed your guys' lives, and now you guys are on the right path. So we got listeners out there listening. Anything else? We got a few more minutes. Anything else you guys want to share or talk about?
Yes, for me, the biggest struggle, like the big picture about coming to actually stepping into what this relationship that God had for me, he had waiting this entire time, was making the head connection to my heart, the head knowledge of Jesus, and actually getting it to my heart. He'd already been in my heart. He had been there since I was a little kid when I first decided that this is what I wanted. But then there's hope. There is a never-ending hope in Jesus. And no matter what mixed emotions are tearing at you right now, he wants to meet you right where you are. Every single day, he wants to meet you. He's always there. And shame is meant to keep us from crying out to God. But that's the very thing that sets us free, is crying out to him, because he listens every single day.
Brokenness is what crying out leads to, crying out.
Yes.
Because when you're so broken, you can't do anything. How can you help but cry out?
Yes. And King David, it says he became a man after God's own heart. We're talking, that's an honor to have that spoken about yourself. But every single day, if you read the book of Psalms, he's crying out to God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a king crying out every day. And that humility and brokenness shaped an incredible man that stood up to biggest armies. He was 10 years old and he stood up to Goliath.
You look at the kind of man David was too, and yet he was a man after God's own heart.
He was a man.
Yeah. He was a man.
He failed.
Yeah.
He had desires, and he made wrong choices.
Yep.
But he was quick to repent.
But he was also a mighty man of God. He was also a strong man of God. He also killed Philistines. He killed a bear. He killed a lion. He killed Goliath. There were things that he did that showed his strength, but his strength really came from Christ.
There you go.
And when we're broken, we don't see our strength. That's why the best thing to do when you're broken and weak is to turn over to who has the strength that can put the strength in you so you can be strong. You can be made strong in the midst of your weakness. You can be developed in the midst of who you don't think you are and you don't see yourself being. God can totally change that around and blow your mind. And I think he's done that for both you, Austin, and you, Kevin. So, Kevin, is there some other things that you'd like to talk about? Or do we want to go to
break? Let's go ahead and take our last break,
yeah,
and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Reeve Woods Eye Center provides quality care with two convenient locations, West East Avenue in Chico and Pence Road in Paradise. A premium ophthalmology practice specializing in cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic eye care, and a full-service optical department to fulfill all your eye care needs. Their family of intraocular lenses offer and meet a variety of visual needs for cataract patients. Reeve Woods Eye Center, providing outstanding quality care to the North Valley for over 30 years. Most insurances accepted and always accepting new patients in both locations. Reeve Woods Eye Center. For appointments or information, call their Chico office at 899-2244 or 877-6583 in Paradise. The goal at Reeve Woods Eye Center is great vision for your life.
All right, listeners, welcome back to Christ Today, your show, weekly encouraging, uplifting the Lord, and great new show. And we are talking with Kevin and Austin from YWAM. They are mission builders. And Kevin, we're going to go back to you. You were just saying something while we were at break, and continue on.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, we do get our strength from Christ, and He's the source of our power. But sometimes we don't hear Him. You know, sometimes we don't feel it. And where I've noticed in those gaps, the other believers around me have filled. I guess one of the things that I lacked a lot when I was really in my worst was friends, family, you know, a community, a church community, just people around me that would build me up and speak truth to me, mm-hmm. tell me what was the truth, God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see the truth of my situation, what was going on all around me. You know, I was homeless, I was in jail, I was addicted to drugs, I had no hope. But YWAM really has been one of the main sources, but also Stephanie's family, my family, who I was disconnected with, those are what help us to stay strong. You know, the intimate way we connect to other believers, And how our personal sins impact that whole network. You know, our lives, we're not separated. As even if we want to isolate and do our own thing and, you know, we're individuals, that's really not. It's a selfish way of thinking, and it's not true.
I think we're only hurting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yeah,
really we're affecting everyone around us.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something I told myself a lot. I'm not, you know, this isn't supposed to hurt anybody else.
Right.
You know, my mom would just tell me how much it hurt her that I was struggling. And
it's just a little bit of pot.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything for anybody else. You know, it's only, you know, if it's hurting anybody, it's only hurting me.
I heard the same thing from my mom.
Yeah.
My mom hurt for me too, and I didn't understand how. She didn't even understand what I was going through, but she still hurt for me when I was hurting.
I bought into that lie when I was in college, and I was riding around with a bunch of guys, and we were, you know, partying, and I told him, I said, you know what, I really can't do this because I know it would hurt my parents' feelings. And still remember this guy. His name was Jason. And he turned around and he said, well, you're not hurting them. I mean, if anything, you're only hurting yourself. And I thought, yeah, that's right. It's not going to hurt them if I go ahead and do this. And then it's a slippery slope. And then, you know, you can be knee-deep in it before you realize it.
Yeah, and that realization that our actions and our words affect other people in our lives indirectly or directly is one of those pivotal moments. It's, I think a lot of people have it when they have kids. And I think that's one of the reasons that it took me so long is because I don't have kids. Yeah. But I think a lot of people, even when they're really young, they realize, oh, yeah, life's, you know, connected. We're connected. Mm-hmm. And we're responsible to the people in our lives, whether we want to be or not.
That's funny. One night I was kneeling down beside my daughter's bed, and my little girl, one of my little girls, Tatum, my oldest, after we get done praying, she looks right up at me and she says, "Daddy, I always knew after you met Mommy you'd settle down." I was like, "All right, who have you been talking to?" I mean, I was like, "You knew that? Oh yeah, I knew when you met Mommy you'd settle down." Well, I did. It was like, it was just
Holy
kind
Spirit
of a, yeah, Holy Spirit, and I was like, wow. Yeah. Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
Going back to that thought about our actions not hurting anybody, if that kind of thinking were true, then that mean that every good thing we intend to do would absolutely impact nobody.
Right.
But
That's true.
We see the impact that one man can have on an entire generation.
Yep.
In fact, we look at Jesus and look at his impact today on us, every single one of us, and millions of people.
And people that don't intend to impact other people for good, but they just see it, you know?
That's right.
And the same, vice versa, people that don't intend to hurt other people. So, yeah, I mean, it works both ways. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you can see good and bad that is unintentional, but also intentional. I think it's super important that I've just been hearing lately a lot about when we are working for God, and we want to be intentional. You know, we want to have a motivation, but at the same time, it's sometimes things we do that we don't even realize they reach people.
Even those random acts of kindness. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing that you do, but it does make an impact.
Random acts of kindness, or just somebody else gave it another name not too long ago, and I forget exactly what he said, but it was...
Pay it forward?
No, it was something else related to kindness, but he didn't use the word random. He used, and it really blew
intentional?
My mind.
Intentional acts.
Intentional acts.
Yeah, not random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, I think when we have Christ in us, it's easier to do kind things and to do loving things for people, because we now have a love for ourselves that we can love and we can care for others that we couldn't before, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it comes to a point where, like, you decide to take on life at, and you get the means to do so, and start battling again with a different method. You know, my method was wrong. And I was not making any progress, you know. But when I started allowing God to in my life and using His power into taking on life again, things started working, and things are, you know, it's fruit. The fruit, you know, is happening, and that's so great to see, you know.
What about with you, Austin? Did you want to say something in regards to what he just spoke, or you have anything else on your?
Something you said earlier. You were talking about strength, the strength that God gives us. And I just felt like it's when that strength comes from Him. First, we become broken. We let Him come in, and His strength comes in. That's the strength that overcomes the drugs, all for me, it was porn. It could be anything that is you just feel has a hold of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when the strength comes, and that's when the freedom comes, and that's when you actually get to realize what it means to be happy. The first time in your life when you're free of it all,
because that's where wholeness comes. And how can you be happy when you're a broken person? You've got to be whole in order to be you can be happy, but it's a facade. It's only an external happiness, but the real happiness and real joy comes when you're whole and when Christ has healed you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. I mean, I'm a Christian believer and I still struggle in those areas, but God is the one that makes us whole, not our works, not our doings, not our efforts. And I think we just need to come to the point that we need Him. If you don't have Him out there, I encourage you to take time to accept Him into your life, because He loves you. And as Tori said at the beginning of the show, Christ is coming again soon.
The king is coming.
Mm-hmm. He is. And we could be 5 years from now, Tori. We don't know. But we need to be ready today. I mean, YWAM's got this big vision that we're going to have, you know, but God knows how much longer he, you know, and the statistics this morning were really different for me because I hadn't heard of statistics in a while. And there's a lot of statistics that were blowing my mind regarding where we're at right now, what's going on. I was like, what? But, you know, there's, what was it said that only 39% of 20 years or older are believers in Christ. Only 39%. And that means there's still another, what, 60% of those 20 years or older that need to be reached for Christ? Mm-hmm. How can we reach them unless we're reached first, right?
Love.
That's
right.
We've
got to have it first. If we don't have it, we can't.
God's grace gives that love.
Exactly. We've got to have Christ first. So if you're out there and you have Christ, pass him along. Share him. Encourage others with who he is and what he wants to do in you and through them, through you and in them. All right. I think we're almost close to the end.
Yeah.
Are we going to say a prayer and pray out?
Sure. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity today with Austin and Kevin, Lord, that their testimonies of their lives, Lord, would reach out and touch the lives of our listeners today, Lord, that it would change lives for your glory, Heavenly Father,
yes,
that they might come to know that same peace, that same restoration and hope that is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this radio show. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your love of Christ and to this generation, Lord, that did change lives. Lord, we ask you to be with the wonderful people, with Youth with a Mission, Lord God, and all that they're doing and changing lives. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Listeners, we appreciate all of your letters and your phone calls. Keep them coming. We love to hear from you. If you would like to write us, feel free to do so at KKXX Radio here at 1363 Longfellow Drive or Longfellow Avenue. Attention Christ Today and 5926. Feel free to call us 530-894-7325. And if you need prayer, please call me directly at 530-864-1111. Until next week.
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.